Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. It's Wednesday again already. It feels like just an hour ago we finished talking about Life is Strange.
I know. I actually thought it was Tuesday.
So... I thought it was Thursday.
We are just all over the map this week.
It's one of those weeks.
It has been one of those weeks. I feel like I didn't do or play anything other than, Matt was here for the weekend, so we played some cardboard tabletop things and a whole ton of Rocket League. So I don't know if you want me to, I feel like our board game episode had some really good feedback, so maybe I will talk about it, but I don't know, Boss Monster 2, do you want to hear about Boss Monster 2, Ryan?
Tell me about these physical games you were playing, of the board game variety, that's all I want to know about.
Well, it was a card game. Am I allowed to talk about card games?
I'm pretty sure ever since you've got me addicted to Hearthstone, we're allowed to talk about every card game now.
Okay, alright, well.
Card game away.
We played Boss Monster 2, which is so super fun. The whole idea is that you play as a boss monster, and you have to try to build a dungeon that's going to kill whatever heroes come into your dungeon. Mm-hmm. And then you get different, like, bonuses and stuff based on, like, what your rooms are and what's in them. You have spells that you can play, so you can use them on the heroes, you can use them on the other player. And the whole idea is the first person to kill 10 heroes or take 5 wounds, so you can't win if you're dead, wins the game. So it was actually really, really fun. We played it over and over and over and over again and picked like different bosses to be every time, because each boss has a different like level up perk. So once you get to a certain point where you've got 5 rooms in your dungeon, you level up your boss and then it does something different. So it was so much fun.
So it's called, what's it called again? Boss
Monster 2.
I was like, Boss Man 2, and I just get a bunch of Mega Man guides. I'm like, no. I don't want to hear about no Blue Bomber. I want to hear about Boss Monster 2. Now, Boss Monster 2, : the next level. It's got a colon in the title. And now, okay, so Kearney's down, right? He's down and playing Boss Monster. Can you play with just 2 people?
You can. Yes, cool. You can. Absolutely. There were some mechanics that we kind of noticed that would have been better had there been more people. Mm-hmm. But basically what you do is there's like little symbols on the cards. And so there's not the build your dungeon cards, but the hero cards. And right. So you take a certain number of them out if there's only 2 people. So there's like cards with like 2 little people on them, and then cards with 3 little people and cards with 4.
Sure.
Because you can play with up to 4 people. So it was really, really fun. And it kind of like it decreases the hero pool, because that's basically the heroes going through your dungeon. You have to try to attract them with different treasures. So the rooms each have a treasure, plus your boss has a treasure. And then so you flip up the heroes at the start of the turn, and then whoever has more of the kind of treasure that they're looking for. So say the hero is a thief, then he wants like the money treasure. So whoever has the most money treasures in their dungeon is going to attract that hero. But then once you attract the hero, you have to try to kill him. Okay. Because if you don't kill him by the time he gets to your boss, he does damage to your boss, and then you take wounds. And then you take 1 wound if it's a normal hero and 2 wounds if it's an epic hero. So you have to try to make sure that you're killing them before they get to your boss. If you get 5 wounds, then you lose the game. So,
how quick of a game are we talking here?
The first game we played probably took about 45 minutes. And again, that was just with 2 of us. But then once we kind of got used to the rules, it was probably closer to like 20 minutes, half an hour. I'd say probably you're looking at 10 to 15 minutes per person who's playing.
Okay, cool.
Would be my guess.
I'm just looking at it. $25. There's no like expansions. It's just the main game, looks like. So that's cool. 160 card set, standalone game. Or as an expansion. Oh, okay. I guess you can add it as an expansion to the original game.
Yeah, I think you can combine the cards. We just had Boss Monster 2, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, everybody knows the sequels better. That's how sequels work. No, this looks really cool. And the art, if you guys click on the link that's either in the chat or in the show notes, the art is very, like, Super NES style,
yes,
which is super rad. and the box art for the actual game is styled after like an old NES box, which is super cool. This is really neat, and we need more card games. I need to play more card games. I'm always looking for card games that are easy enough, because the people I play with are when I go to family gatherings. So is this something I could bring to my in-laws and say, hey, let's play this game. It's really fun. Like, is this something that I could get them on board with?
Oh, 100%. It was really, really easy to kind of wrap your head around. There were a couple of mechanics that we had to look up, like we had to Google, just because the cards weren't quite self-explanatory, but it's definitely on par with like Hearthstone. So if you think that, like, you could sit down and explain in 5 or 10 minutes the game of Hearthstone to whoever you want to play with, then Boss Monster 2 is right on par with that.
Well, I'm not very good at explaining Hearthstone. I try
to
do that.
Well, that's true. Okay, so maybe you, Ryan, are a bad example. If someone who's good at explaining rules in games thinks that they could sit down and explain Hearthstone in 5 to 10 minutes to a group of people, then Boss Monster 2 will also work for that group of people.
The issue I have with explaining Hearthstone to people is they are immediately caught on the fact that it is based on World of Warcraft and that it's super fantasy-like. So if I brought this game and The beauty of Cards Against Humanity and what I'm imagining the contender will be like is you just slap a box on the table and be like, we're going to play this game. It's super easy. Here are the rules. Let's go. With this, I can kind of feel like what's going to happen is slap the box on the table, and first and foremost, you have to explain why it looks like a video game. Yeah. And I wonder if this is a game someone can enjoy that isn't really into video games. I know that's not our audience, but I'm just thinking for people who have like these in-law gatherings that are looking for these type of games.
I think probably like my family is different than your family, because I'm like, my mom would totally freaking love this game, but my mom is where I get my nerd from. So, sure. But my dad, I wonder, I think he would probably just want to watch. Like, he would just get the fun out of, like, watching us have fun more so than want to play this game, probably for that exact reason. He's not a big – other than Lord of the Rings. He loves Lord of the Rings. But anything else that's, like, fantasy-wise, he's just like, no. So, yeah, I can kind of see that. It's not necessarily – or, well, not that it doesn't appeal to people like that. It's just – or that aren't into video games. It's that, like, it really appeals to you if you've played, like – Super Nintendo games and stuff like that. So yeah, there's even like one of the epic heroes is called the Brothers, and it's literally like Mario and Luigi.
Sold. It looks really cool. I'll have to pick up a deck. I'm always, like I said, I'm always looking for games to bring to the family functions, because what happens is like after dinner, like we were there, and this isn't at all a comment, it was a delicious dinner, but after dinner everyone sort of goes and does their own thing, you know. Someone goes to do dishes, someone goes to like get dessert ready, and then everybody else just goes and watches TV, and it feels like, well, we could all be playing a fun card game, and everyone's kind of played enough Cards Against Humanity that you're always looking to bring that extra person in to make it fun again, because I think that's what really brings Cards Against Humanity out as a fun game.
Well, did you actually back the contender?
I did. The expansion, not the expansion, but like basically the add the Donald Trump cards is as far as I was able to go, because, you know.
Because then
you know,
that's as far as they ship to Canada, right?
Yeah. And yeah, I did the same thing. I mean, I'm sure eventually they'll come out with the expansion, ship it worldwide, fine, whatever. But, I think that this game would work, that it would really flow well if it's as easy as it seems. And, you know, the art is not the only thing is one of the things that makes it nerdy, and it's not just this super hard, like Munchkin is a great game, but would be nearly impossible to probably get the family to play, because it's kind of complex and a little nerdy, right? Which is fine.
So this was not as complex as Munchkin. Or at least I didn't find it as complex as Munchkin. Like, once you kind of got the hang of it, it was like, oh, okay, boom, boom, done. Cool. But what I was going to say with when I was asking if you backed the contender, if you did back the contender, and I think its Kickstarter is still up, they've got a couple days left. If you back the contender, you can actually get a PDF copy of the game. So if you're looking for something to take, like, you can have the contender like literally now. You just have to print it off yourself.
That is true. And I wonder if they're offering the expansion cards. It's just a beta version that you can print and play, right? They don't have all the cards, so... And they're still running that Kickstarter if you want to go back and go search The Contender on Kickstarter. Highly, we both highly recommend it because we played it at Nerdtacular. We've talked about it before. That's really cool. So did you play any other board games or just Boss Monster?
That was pretty much it. We also played the Princess Bride game the last time Matt was down. So,
what is that? Is it just you point at each other and like you killed my father, prepare to die? Or
pretty much, yeah. That's what it devolved into. But
does it even require a board? It's
another card game. It's another card game. So basically, same sort of idea with that one. But you're essentially, it's called like building a quest. So you're collecting cards and then you play them in your quest. And I'm trying to remember because it was like 3 or 4 weeks ago now. And you get certain points for having certain kinds of icons. So again, like you get your hero card. So you get your person from the Princess Bride that you play. Same as in Boss Monster, you get your boss monster. And that specific person scores points for different things. So like Buttercup was like loyalty and love or something like that. So like all the cards that were like scenes from the movie that had the icons on it. So the more love icons you got as Buttercup, then the higher your score. And then whoever got to a certain score first won. So it was fun. It was like there was to try to get your cards. There was a little bit of like, it was kind of like, you know, the game that they play with the drinking the poison in the cups, the Iocane powder.
Right.
Remember that scene? Okay, it's kind of like that. So basically it's like you put two cards, the dealer looks at all four of the cards, puts two cards face down and two cards face up. And then the other person has to pick a card. So you have to be like, okay, well, I know I need the card that's face up, but maybe the, like, how well do I know the other person? Did they put a better card for me face down? Did they put the card they want face down? And then so you have to try to, like, strategize and figure out, like, if I take this card, it might be bad for me, but it gives him 5 points or something like that. Sure. And I don't want him to have points. So I get zero, but so does he by taking that card. So there's kind of that, like, how well do I know the person? And then not even just, like, would they have put a card face down, but then it's like, okay, there's two face down cards. So is it the face down card closer to me or is it the face down card closer to him? So there's a little bit of that. That's kind of like the gameplay of it, I guess. It's really like strategy and how well do you know the person you're playing with sort of a game. But it was fun. And again, that was another one that first we were kind of like, what? This doesn't make any sense. But then as we got playing, we're like, oh, okay. I got the albino as my first character.
I was going to say,
oh, man.
It looks like it's a ThinkGeek product, or at least that's where I was able to find a link. And okay, yeah, this looks really good. Now I know this isn't a movie podcast, but is that movie a comedy? I think I've watched it once and I'm not really sure.
You've only seen Princess Bride once? Oh, you need to fix that. We literally watched the movie and then played the game.
Okay.
So good.
I can't even remember when I watched it. I might have watched it when I was in university.
Oh, man. And Ashley would love that movie.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't even remember. I remember the main character. He has a sweet mustache. That's familiar. His name is...
He's not even the main character.
He's not? Well, no. The Princess Bride is the main character, because that's the title of the movie.
There you go.
Right. Wait, The Princess Bride. Whatever. Yeah. Anyways, this isn't a movie podcast. What are we doing? But you played a board game, so it counts.
Yes, it totally counts. So yeah, we did a lot of board game playing. We played a lot of Rocket League. Mm-hmm. I'm getting better, and I've realized that I'm just really, really bad with the PlayStation controller. I am so much better with the Xbox controller on PC. It's ridiculous.
Do you think it's because you're switching like back and forth that's causing
the issue? It could be that too. Totally different, especially when Matt and I were playing, because obviously we're sitting next to each other on the couch, so it's split screen, and so you lose all of your peripheral vision.
Oh, that definitely affects it as well, right?
So. Well, it didn't affect him, just affected me. But.
Yeah, but he trains. He just turns on another controller and trains in split screen.
In split screen.
That's what he does.
That's amazing.
I'm pretty sure, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he brought his PS4 on the plane and somehow figured out how to hook it up. That's probably what happened on our flight to Nerdtacular. The kid was trying to hook up a PS4 to the entertainment system. It was not happening.
Totally. He did bring his own controller because, you know, he has those special thumbsticks, so.
Right. You got to make sure. Yeah, you know what?
He's total pro. He's way pro, dude.
You might want to throw a score eliminator on him if he's using a custom controller. That might not be street legal. You want to check with the rulings on Rocket League. That might not be street legal at all.
But yeah, I've been playing so much of that, and we've started playing ranked. So oh, we were playing, we were streaming and playing ranked last night, which was really fun. And we grabbed, Swexis came in and played with us. So then we played 3-on-3. And then, somebody else came and played. Oh, I think it was Matt's brother came and played with us too.
Okay.
And then so we played 4v4, which, like, oh my God, dude, that is like well named. Chaos is definitely a good name for it.
Yeah, it's just, it's like bumper cars with a soccer ball involved. It's not really.
Yeah. Complete and utter chaos. Have you played much Rocket League, or have you been out of it for a while now?
It's like one of those multiplayer games that I really only play when everybody else is like, want to play Rocket League? It's like, of course. Because, like, you know, I know you own it, and the guys own it, like my normal gaming crew, and then a lot of people actually own it. So the guys, the palace dudes. And it's a lot of fun, and it's always just, it's one of those great Skype games where you're just like playing the game and then just talking about whatever you want. Doesn't even have to be about Rocket League, but then all of a sudden, you know, someone scores a goal and they have to scream out loud, which is always fun. It's just such a fun casual game.
You can talk and Rocket League at the same time.
Well, yeah.
You're not taking it seriously enough, dude. I don't think I can play with you anymore.
Well, come on.
You can't talk in Rocket League.
You know, Jocelyn, like, once you get the trophy that is you driving on the walls the whole game, you can get off the walls, right? You know that, right? Yeah. I don't know why I went straight for the throat, but I did.
Yeah,
it was really
apparently.
Weird.
We're just not friends anymore.
Well,
got it.
I just,
message received.
It's okay. I take it back. I still haven't got that trophy yet, so maybe I'm just envious. That's what's happening right now. I really like that game, and talking while you're playing, that doesn't necessarily mean that the conversation's good or that the game is good, but it's just a lot of fun to sit back and play that game. It's so much fun, and I hope you'll let me play with you eventually again.
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
I was joking. Y'all, healthy ribbing, back and forth.
See, you know, first of all...
Well, why is it when I joke about it, it's
using
like...
Using a guide to find the Riddler trophies in Batman, and now you're talking about talking through Rocket League. I really think we're at two different levels of our gaming here, Ryan.
I'm
and
just a filthy
I don't
casual.
I think you're hardcore enough for me.
We've established this. 181 episodes... I'm a filthy casual, and I am not to be trusted, especially, but hey, let's face it, like, I do score some goals in Rocket League. I can't fly yet, like some people,
but
you can fly now. That's good.
Still not as good, because as soon as I start to learn a skill, Matt's already mastered it, but I can do it now, and so I just have to try to get up to that level, but I'm getting there. I can actually fly, and I can... I hit things in the air, and I even scored a goal from the air last night. So I'm getting there.
my favorite part to continue digging up, but in a good way, in Rocket League is when you do actually like just go for it. I'm going to fly. I don't care if I'm really good at it. I'm just going to do it. And you end up getting that goal or that save, and it just feels like you're on top of the world.
Exactly.
It's so much fun, that game. So much fun.
So speaking of things that you are an absolutely filthy casual in, and I am a super pro, how's Hearthstone going?
Hearthstone's going well. We just recorded the second episode of Ryan Wreck Ranked, or whatever we're calling it.
I love that you can't even say it.
I'm not lead enough. I don't have any Twitch subscriptions. I'm just, you know what? The internet. What's it do? I don't know. How do magnets work? I'm really enjoying being back in Hearthstone. I'm kind of glad that I don't have to do all the quests now. I feel like a burden has been lifted off my shoulders, but
you still should do your quests every day, dude.
Is that a thing? Is that what's happening?
Thing. Yeah.
Is that does homework stack? Is that a stack
yes,
debuff?
Exactly. Stack right. Debuff. There you go.
Well, I don't know if you remember how long we actually recorded yesterday, and we won't go in too depth because the video
probably
will be up later.
About an hour,
tonight.
I think.
Yeah, it was about an hour, which, I mean, we opened 10 packs, and that took about 50 minutes. And really, the core of that is because we both went really in depth on each card, getting, you know, the real knowledge, and then the what a casual person or a new player at Hearthstone would say, I think this would fit here and fit there. And you'd be like, no, I mean, that's a terrible card, Ryan. You're not supposed to say good things about that pirate. I can't remember which card was actually truly bad, but no legendaries. But you know, Grand Tournament's really cool. You've opened more packs than I have. I'm still pretty new at the Grand Tournament. I haven't built the deck yet that I promised I would. I'm getting around to it. But you opened what, like 150 packs?
I opened 130 altogether. So I had 15. Oh no. Oh. I put something in chat, and because I'm subscribed to Savitz, and then Bananas. I realized I was on Amove, not on GIS Gamer, so I was like, oh no, didn't actually make any sense. Anyways.
It's fine. We'll imagine no it. Emotes. We'll imagine it yeah. there. It's Savitz doing this.
Exactly.
Perfect.
So I opened 130. I had 50 from the pre-order. I bought 60, which turned out, when I looked at my credit card statement, to be a mistake, and I bought 20 packs with the gold that I'd saved up. So I opened 130 nice. Altogether, and I got 4 legendaries,
mm-hmm.
except for 2 of them were the same. So I got Nexus Champion Sarad. I got Chill-Maw, which actually I really like Chill-Maw. When I opened it, I was kind of like, meh, but now that I'm playing with it in my Warrior deck, I really, really like it. And then I got 2 copies of Ice Howl, so... so sad. So yeah. sad.
Ice Howl, man. F that noise, right?
I know, right?
I don't know what we're talking about. Who's Ice Howl? Is that a worm? Is that one of the worms?
No, it's one of the Yetis.
Oh...
He's a 10/10 creature. I think he costs 9 mana, I think.
Okay.
And he has charge, but he can't attack heroes, so he can only attack other minions. So
I just want to say, I want to reiterate, I don't want to like get ahead of you, but Golden Mulch, that is a creepy card.
Golden Mulch, I got Golden Mulch when I opened it, like in my packs, and it mm-hmm. just, it's amazing. It makes me so happy. I need to go make a druid deck because I think that card is awesome.
See,
it may be another eye for an eye situation,
right?
But I really think where I just like the card for just kind of the flavor of it. Mm-hmm. But mulch, I don't know, it could be really, really good because I mean, it's 3 mana, you get to destroy a minion, you get to target, so it's not random. And then your opponent gets a random minion put into their hand. So yeah, sometimes it could be like Alexstrasza or something amazing, but at the same time, it could be a Wisp. So yeah. It's very much like Unstable Portal in that it can pull any minion in the game into your hand. But then Unstable Portal also gives you a mana cost reduction of 3. So you don't get that mana cost reduction, like you don't give that reduction to your opponent. They just straight up get the minion, whatever it is. So yeah. Considering that we have like 500 cards in the game, probably somewhere in and around 300 minions. I don't know that off the top of my head. I just kind of feel like there's like a 3-to-2 ratio of minions to spells. That could be totally completely wrong. I feel like out of all of those possible minions, like the chances of them getting something that synergizes really well with their deck or is super useful, slim to none. So I'm kind of okay with... Because a lot of the stuff that you get out of Unstable Portal, the reason why Unstable Portal is good is because you get that reduction in cost. So if you didn't have that reduction in mana cost, a lot of the cards you pull out of Portal wouldn't be good. But the fact that you're getting, you know, sometimes the minion at half the cost, that's pretty amazing. So yeah. I feel like Mulch could be good. Mulch could have, it's the removal that Druid is kind of missing right now. Mm. So
is this the,
let's see.
Is this see, I had a joke and you kept talking. I lost it. It's the Hearthstone hole. It's happening. sorry, everybody. Mulch. It just, the thing I look at it, the card, it's like got that horror movie quality to like the guy is being turned into a bunch of leaves. Just does not look happy that he's turning into a bunch of leaves. And that shakes me to the very core as a human being, and it just gives me the shivers. So I pass that along to everybody by posting the GIF in chat. So have fun with that. But no, it does look like a really cool card, and one of those that, like we were talking about, is like if there's a 9 for 9/9s on the table or the board or whatever, and you need to get rid of it, and it's only going to cost you 3 mana, I'd take that chance, especially if that thing has like a superpower to eat your face off. So.
Yep, exactly. So I think Mulch is really cool. And I got a golden version, and it looks freaking awesome. So I'm happy with that. But chat room's also asking where to find the vid.
Yeah.
Ryan, so have you posted?
I have not posted. It'll go live tonight, but you can go to YouTube and check out Ryan Murphy CA and subscribe, and you'll get a notification. The first episode is live right now, and it deals with just a basic ranked game. We do card openings this episode, and I think next episode we're going to tear apart a deck that I built on my own free will with no net decking.
So it's going to be awesome. So that was Ryan or R. Murphy?
Ryan Murphy CA. I can throw a link in there for everybody. But it's been a lot of fun, and I always knew I would enjoy Hearthstone. I needed that, we'll call it a kick. But for lack of a better...
I can't believe that after all of the Hearthstone talking that I've done in the last 2 years, like, what was it that actually made you jump into Hearthstone again? Was it this new expansion?
I don't want to discount the fact that it's not because you weren't convincing me. It was more so because whenever we talked about Hearthstone, like I said, it wasn't like a high level. It wasn't ever super high level. It was always like medium to low level, because when we talk about Hearthstone, we never want to assume that everybody knows what we're talking about. But I think combined with the expansion coming and the fact that everybody, it was literally intertacular. Like, everybody was talking about Hearthstone all the time. And I'm just like, you know what?
God damn it, I'm going to figure out what they're talking about.
Kids, peer pressure is a terrible thing, but when it comes to something as innocent as a card game like Hearthstone, it is okay to be like, all right, let's give it another shot. And that's really, honestly, what happened. And me doing this YouTube series allowed me to say, all right, let's start from the start. Let's pull people in. Start with Jocelyn, because, you know, we do a podcast together. We talk about video games. And just hit the reset button. I
kind of like Hearthstone a little bit.
Yeah, that as well. And you're really good at it. And you do a Hearthstone podcast called The Angry Chicken at amove.tv/tac, which was recently featured in one of the top podcast category for video games. Am I right?
Yeah, we were number 3.
That was pretty good. They beat Giant Bomb.
In video games, we beat Giant Bomb. It's pretty crazy.
That's and Rooster Teeth, too. I mean, those guys are pretty big. But anyways, that doesn't mean like Gamers Inn is going to turn into like Hearthstone Lite. If anything, it might mean a lot of the Hearthstone content will move over here, but it might not mean that at all. It might just mean that Ryan plays a lot of Hearthstone and it comes up a lot. So we'll
periodically.
Periodically. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and really it was just a matter of hitting that reset button and starting from scratch and just getting in there and
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad, because obviously, you know, I love Hearthstone, so I always love introducing or reintroducing more people back to the game. So
now we both need to do that with Heroes, from what I hear.
Oh, yeah. I just got an email from Blizzard that, excuse me, said that I had 2,000 gold they put in my account because I had supported them in the past or whatever. Basically, it was like a thanks for buying shit. Here's some gold. So did you get that too?
I actually never purchased any. Well, wait, no, I did buy a bundle, did I not? I think I did, like, the starter pack, like the $5 one to get Rainer and a couple others.
I spent way more money than that.
You did. That is true.
So I don't know what the threshold was to get gold, but I got gold in my Heroes account. I think it had something to do with
buying multiple packs or something.
Might have been, or it might have been, I bought a whole bunch. Well, not a whole bunch. I bought a bundle. And I bought a couple of single heroes, right. I think. And what I bought when I bought the bundle, I'm pretty sure it was back in Alpha. So that might have had something to do with it, too. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not really certain, but I don't know what it is about Heroes. But I've actually really been interested, and this has only tangentially has to do with Heroes. I'm thinking of maybe going back into Diablo to try to like do a season to get them out. Which I don't know why, because I'm not playing Heroes and I'm not playing Diablo.
It's a completionist thing. They do the same thing. It's with the Hearthstone card backs, like all that kind of stuff. It just, like, whenever there's a limited time to earn something, whether it's a game that you actually really enjoy or not, I feel like I have to do it. Like, ugh.
My game and
my collection and my experience is not complete without whatever that item is.
Yeah, and I had a lot of fun with Diablo. And I know we had a lot of fun playing on game nights like years ago. Last year. and I don't know, I'm thinking of at least dipping my toe in, and I never touched the season stuff. I never played enough adventure. So I might try it. And I mean, how hard could it be to get a level 70? I don't know. It's interesting.
Oh, apparently, I'm reading the chat room here. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you got gold if you bought a bundle that included a hero that you already owned in some other way. So I guess they finally figured out how to handle bundles when you have duplicate heroes. Because that actually stopped me from buying a lot of bundles. Because, like, there would be a really cool bundle that had, say, Sylvanas in it. And Sylvanas was a hero that I bought, as soon as she came out on her own sort of thing. So then if there was ever a bundle, I'm like, well, I already own one of the heroes in here. So why would I buy this bundle? So that's interesting. So,
yeah,
I guess basically they've refunded your whatever the gold value or some gold, I guess.
It's good that they sorted that out and they didn't just leave it as a technical issue, which if they're solving it now, I don't think it was a design discussion. It must have just been technical and they sorted it out and good for them. And I don't even know if they were vocal about doing that. They just did it, right?
No, so. I literally just got an email right before the show that was like, hey, you have 2,000 gold in your heroes account. I was like, sweet.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even care what it's for. I just have bonus gold now. So, which I think actually bumps me up to enough gold. I think that bumps me up to around 10,000, which is enough to buy another hero. So that might be enough to get me back in because then, you know, I can potentially buy a new hero that I haven't tried yet. Apparently, I'm going to love the Butcher. So say okay. The guys on Azeroth Roundtable. So
if we were to do a Heroes of the Storm noob cast, what would we call it? Like you got... It'd be like what? It'd be like...
I am terrible at naming things. Why are you asking me this? Noobs. I've been trying to rename my Twitter account for probably a year and a half.
Never mind. Anyways. I don't know. Like, it's like, yeah. Anyways. What is it? Noobs of the Nexus. Newbies Nexus of the Nexus. Nexus noobs. That sounds too close to...
Boobs?
Yeah. Well, then, for some reason. I don't know. You said Nexus noobs, and I'm like, huh. If you say that really fast, you'll probably say Nexus boobs, which no one wants to see the Butcher's. Anyways, so I think, yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's something there. Maybe there isn't, and it'll just be a terrible idea. We'll both hate heroes forever. I don't know.
Could be.
But we should try that. I actually do really want to get back into heroes, so.
Yeah, it's on my list. Lots of things are on my list, including Ark, which is something I jumped back into today with James because last time I played was with you, and that was, I don't know, like a month and a half ago.
It was a while ago. There was some turtle slapping. That's all I remember.
We slapped the turtle. It was, yeah. So today, James jumped on its back and stabbed it in the face with a spear, and then it murdered him. So, justice.
Yeah. No, I remember... riding a turtle to get away from a saber-toothed tiger.
Ah, and that was I couldn't get up on the on the hero's back, on the turtle's back.
Right.
I was very sad.
You had to jump.
Not a good jump. Really carefully. You had to jump, and I feel like I was trying to jump from, like, downhill up onto the turtle, and I think I should have maybe run around him from uphill and jumped down onto him, and then that might have worked. But anyways, jumping on the turtle's not the important part. The important part is that now I have a better handle on, first of all, how to collect stuff, because that's something that I wasn't doing. I was running around for a good 45 minutes without collecting anything last time, and that was just frustrating. And also, like, how to craft stuff, and, like, we built a little straw hut.
Nice.
I made a campfire.
So you guys really splitting rent, or?
Hmm?
Are you splitting rent?
Yes.
Yeah.
We are roommates in the one-room straw house.
How much does rent go for straw houses? It's waterfront property, right? Like everything is.
It is, exactly. Yeah. So, I built the campfire and I found him when he was lost in the jungle. So, I think that's a pretty good exchange. Except apparently, I fell asleep, or I logged out in the house and I thought I'd be safe. And then Matt came along. And first of all, James killed Matt because he didn't realize that it was actually Matt. And so
it's all naked dudes and chicks, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They literally ran into each other on the beach and Matt didn't know how to play the game yet. And James punched him to death.
James.
Yeah, it's a brutal game. And James's response was survival of the fittest. Right. So then when I logged out, you basically fall unconscious. So your body is still laying in the game. Okay. And Matt looted me. He took all my stuff.
Oh, man.
And he was like, survival of the fittest.
Not cool, bro.
You had good stuff. And I was like, dude. So I apparently am just laying naked in the little hut that Jameson built, and I have no gear, and that's Ark.
He stole your...
Never log out, or you will lose your shit.
He stole your cloth strip and whatever rocks you were putting, well, we won't, yeah, wherever they were stashed. You got a bag, you got a backpack, right?
Oh, yeah, you totally have a backpack.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, maybe that's how Matt... Now, Jimmy is saying that it serves Matt right for being good at everything else, but maybe that's how Matt gets good. He just waits for people to log exactly. out, and they fall asleep naked, and then he loots them. That's the real concern.
No, that's the thing. I wasn't naked when I fell asleep, and then he took all my stuff, and so now I have nothing. Now I'm back to my, like, what you land on the island with, which is literally, like, underwear and a bra.
Yeah. You're on a beach, right? He's doing you a
favor.
Stupid
game. Stupid game.
I thought you liked the game. I don't know. I think that Ark is, again, I stand by the fact that it's probably the best one of those games that I've played. Now, a month and
a
half removed.
It was fun. I had a lot of fun. Like I said, once I actually had materials and I was doing stuff right, like we got to the point where we were like cooking meat and like you eat the cooked meat and it fills your stomach meter right up. So sure. It's like it's not like the berries that barely make a blip. It's... So, I mean, we made some solid progress today, and it was really, really fun compared to when we played last time. So, I'd recommend this game, actually, because survival games normally aren't my thing. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm getting the hang of it, I like this one. I like that it's, like, spacey, but dinosaurs at the same time, as opposed to every other survival game, which is, like, zombie apocalypse.
Well, maybe I need to... So y'all got it. Now, James has it, Matt has it, you have it. So maybe if this is going to be a regular thing, I'll pop back in. I just know when we were playing, it was like the hot stuff.
Yeah, it was the new hotness when we played the first time. But didn't you do the whole Steam refund thing?
I did, but I can still buy it again.
I see.
Just probably won't return it after this. But if you guys are seriously playing, and that was always my thing, is like, I'll put it back in the cooker for a couple more months. Now, my real question is, like, it was more fun. We were playing with more people, and you had somebody who knew it was that what they were doing. I mean, built a straw house. Best thing we figured out was how to jump on a turtle and ride it in no particular
direction.
Well,
but again, like, the reason that we didn't figure anything out is because I didn't have any materials, so none of my crafting recipes ever unlocked. Like, I had no options. But this time, playing with James, like, I did all the stuff where, like, I did the tech tree that got me all the clothing, and he did the tech tree that got him all the building supplies, and so we were able to get more faster. And then he was collecting, like, wood and stuff to build the shelter, and I was collecting, like, linen to make the clothes. So, like, we weren't even competing for resources. Mm-hmm. We were, you know, kind of cooperating that way. And so it went by really, really quickly. So I think it's all about strategy and cooperation and stuff. And I don't know. I liked it. I had a lot more fun today. So cool. Even though it still took, like, I loaded it on extremely low, whatever it was, extremely low memory, extremely low something. And even then, it took like 25 minutes for me to actually get into the game. It's such a beast of a game.
Right. But the game is still the same as it was when we, obviously some things
been
done,
yeah,
but it's the same thing that we played it was only a month ago. So it's not like things are going to drastically get better, but it was already at a great starting point to begin with. So that's good. I'm glad that you had some fun with it. And I know James has been bugging me to jump on, and I said, well, Jocelyn still has it and she's been interested in playing more, so I'm glad you two connected and got your caveman on or whatever.
I think we're gonna play and stream a lot more of it, so cool. it was really fun.
Good.
So what about you? What have you been playing when you weren't playing Hearthstone?
So when I wasn't playing Hearthstone, I did some experimentation with Windows 10. As we all know, I upgraded last week and you cursed my name. Or rather cursed Windows for luring me to the dark side. But I found I found that it actually has a benefit, and I got an SSD. I finally got that installed and put Witcher 3 on it and played it on Windows 10. And I'm happy to report that due to Windows 10 and possibly the SSD, I can play that game at max now. Whereas whereas on Windows 7, I had to really dip some of the settings. I can even play on max with little to no fluctuation in frame rate and have like the hair effects on, which was completely trashed. So I can have
and
really,
that's really important, is
nice
is
flowing
how
looks.
Your hair looks. in video games. We have to have perfect hair and it has to flow because those physics.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of great characters that have great hair, and when you really mess with their hair, it's just not very awesome.
Not satisfying to have your Witcher without flowing hair. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. And Snowpoint Q in the chat room saying Windows 10 beta test. Well, let me hear. I'm going to be here to tell you that beta test successful. I've been having it's been really good for me, and it's not a beta test.
It's been in beta
for a very long time, and it is final release, good sir. You quirky bugger. That's funny.
It's been nothing but a total shit show for me. When I was running Arc today, Windows was taking up, like, just system was like 600 and something megabytes.
RAM
of memory. Yeah.
Yeah, most operating systems will consume as much RAM as they can get.
I was going to say, it's never been that bad before. And, like, my whole entire system, even without Arc running, like, I had Chrome open, I had Skype open to talk to James, and I had XSplit streaming, and obviously Windows 10 running, and my system was at, like, 80%. And I was like, the F. This is ridiculous. Like, it's never been that bad before. So
yeah, and I mean, just because it's working well for me and not working well for you, I think mileage varies. Like, I was giving Snowpoint a hard time about it being a beta test, but when new operating system launches, like, yes, of course, when you open it up to the general public, and I think they announced they had like 25 million copies installed or whatever, you're going to run into issues, and things are going to get patched, and things will increasingly get better. And maybe some of my, and probably a good majority.
I definitely jumped on the bandwagon a little bit too early. I did it like the day we got back from Nerdtacular. So,
yeah. And we're not going to get into semantics of what a beta test is, Jimmy. It's not technically a beta test, but I understand where you're coming from. Basically, it could be attributed to the fact that I haven't played The Witcher in 2 or 3 months, and there's been a lot of patching, but I just think it was a significant boost, and I had the game. I was playing for about a month after launch, and I highly doubt, like, some of the bigger features that they added would have really improved the gameplay. So I'm having good luck. I know a lot of people aren't, and that's just the territory that comes with new OSes.
Yeah, it seems to be really hit and miss, as everything with Windows. Like, it's not as locked down in terms of hardware like Mac is. So, I mean, like, the Mac operating systems rarely have, like, there's some hiccups, there's some pieces of software that don't work as well. They're always third-party pieces. But there are never as many complaints as there are with Windows, because, like, I have a different graphics card than you do, and we might have different drivers, and all this kind of stuff kind of comes together. Like, all of my audio took a total shit, and now it's completely unusable. I can't record anything. I have all the exact same problems that I did prior to doing any of my, you know, setup and everything else that I just figured out in Windows 7.
Yeah.
So, like, basically, whatever I did, deleted a driver, deleted all my settings, or did something that just basically I can't record audio anymore, which is so frustrating. And then it did the same sort of thing for Patrick Beja, because we were talking about it on Twitter today, and he's had the same sort of an issue. All of his audio stuff just went to hell when he did Windows 10. Other people have had absolutely no problems with audio, but their video is just, they can't do anything. They can't stream, they can't record, they can't anything. So it kind of seems like it's just because everyone has different hardware, everyone has different drivers and different companies, different third party whatevers, and all of it is just not playing well with Windows 10. And it's a total roulette of whether you end up, like, what problems you end up with, if any.
Yeah, and so. I mean, it's just the fact of being a new operating system, you always upgrade at your own risk. And I always wince whenever I do it, and then usually it works out for me, which I think is, it's not luck of the draw, it's just the hardware you have was more compatible with the programming that they have at the launch of Windows 10. Like, it's not luck of the draw, it's really whatever hardware you have, and if it's newer, like most
you mean hardware you're lucky enough to have.
Well, I don't know. It depends. Like, did you just reach into a bag and oh my god, it's a GTX 570. Perfect. As opposed to the 670, which is right beside it. I mean, if you just went to your right a little bit, you would have been fine. But most of the time when you buy a computer, you know what parts you're buying. I'm not saying that...
Well, no, I know. You know what hardware you're buying, but then it's always a crapshoot as to what Windows will best work with when it's a new operating system.
Yeah, I think the farther...
Because it may not even work well with, like, the most recent version of something. Hmm. You know, like, well, NVIDIA may have been working with Windows, and everything might be fine with the latest NVIDIA driver, but maybe two drivers ago is actually more compatible.
Well,
and
NVIDIA had a major issue where...
Well, that was a major issue.
It was an issue where they... I think it was a driver issue where Windows would automatically download their Windows driver for your video card, and then NVIDIA would try to install... And it took me a while to get Witcher 3 running at a solid pace, but for a good amount of there, I was like, oh, I tweeted too soon because the game would keep freezing and eventually would just crash straight to desktop. And it turned out to be a fluke because it stopped doing that, and I was able to play a good, you know, good 10 hours or so. And like Ping Pong in the chat room is saying, like, you know, it's been working great for him so far. And I really do think it's just... For every person who has a horror story, there's lots of people who have this really good story. But I'm...
Of course. I'm not saying that every single person has audio issues. My experience that exactly. Windows 10 can go die in a fire.
And I really do hope that they sort out that issue for you soon, because I think that Windows 10 is a better operating system. It feels snappier. It's got better UI. The start bar is great. And I didn't use Windows 8, so I really don't know.
I didn't use Windows 8 either. I went straight from 7 up to 10. So
yeah, and I guess it's 70 million devices that have Windows 10 on them already. So that's about three times as what I had quoted earlier. So that's pretty impressive. And on the front of Witcher 3 and revisiting it months after launch and having the fact that they've patched it a bunch and had new features, I can't remember when you played, but there's been
some... I played on PS4.
Yeah, but I can't remember when, though, like how long ago. It was before Nerdtacular. I remember that much.
It was, yeah. So a month ago, we'll say.
So they've added some stuff that you might not have experienced, like the new movement controls are actually make it a modern video game now, so you're not like... slowly walking and then going into a full sprint. Now you actually move like you would anticipate a third person action game to move, where you go into a straight run and progress into a full-on sprint that way, which is fantastic. And I've just been getting back into the swing of things and really enjoying it and loving the dialogue and the story. The only issue I've run across is that I was playing, and obviously I'm playing in my office, and Ashley comes in. And it's a mature title, and for some reason, in some of these cities, there's just naked women walking around for no particular reason, just topless women, and they're called strumpets. That's a thing that they call them. And I'm just like, what? Why? What are your naked women?
So she just walks in whenever you happen to walk past the naked lady, and she's like, what the hell are you playing,
it's
Ryan?
It's just a really unfortunate series of events where I'm like, just minding my own business, witchering. Like a witcher, you know, doing my thing. And then I'm just running down the street, and she's like, what was that? And it's like, oh, there's just...
boobies.
Just boobs.
No big deal. Just boobies.
This is a mature game. And you know what? They paid the price on that mature ESRB rating. They're going to put boobs in it. I mean, it's just... I don't understand. Like, you'd think if they were outside, they'd at least be wearing some sort of clothing, like covering. It's cold outside, you know? I just find it really odd, and I'm glad you didn't get that far, but...
No, I have not made it to the boobies.
And I'm not saying this because you need to get to the boobies, like, but you should continue playing that game because they've patched it and they've done some work on it. I think that you dig it and get to the point where the story starts to unfold and you get into the rhythm of doing quests and stuff, and it's so good. So good. That's all I have to say.
So good.
And I don't know why I ended it on talking about the mature content, because that's not the reason you should play. Even though the game treats you like an adult, that's one of my favorite things about this game, because I kind of appreciate when a game says, yeah, this is a game for an adult, for a mature person. Like, you don't, we don't want to target this at teens. This isn't Destiny where everything's like sugar-coated and Disney-ified. Like, this isn't Star Wars. This is mature content that you're going to enjoy playing because you're an adult. So,
and you like boobies.
Okay, that's not even a bullet point on the box, all right? You know what? You want to, let's talk about the real adult thing. Like, you can cut people in half, and I cheer when that happens. And that's, it's just, it's kind of surprising.
What?
It's, okay, seriously, like, there are...
I cheer when that happens.
It's kind of just awesome. Like, you'll just be like, again, it's a video game, but they have added this DLC, this free DLC. You can get 16 pieces of free DLC. One of them was new finishing animations. And when you take out one of these bandits, I don't know what the hell he's got on that sword, but he must have spent the morning sharpening it, if you know what I mean. But he just, like, comes up like this, and then all of a sudden just half the body, like, flies in a specific direction. I'm like, what? What's happening right now? So they take the mature rating to a whole new level. I find it both perplexing and really cool. You should play that game. For the storyline.
I will. I promise. I will. So Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to upgrade to an SSD when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. Which brings us to our topic of the week this week, which is YouTube gaming. It launched today. It's very exciting. It is a direct competitor to where we are currently streaming right now, which is Twitch.tv. So... Ryan, are you excited about YouTube gaming? Have you had a chance to browse the interface at all?
I went to the homepage of YouTube gaming, and I think it's really neat in the sense that it just is, it feels like it has a cleaner, more modern look than Twitch does.
Really? That's so funny because I went to their, like, I also went to the homepage to see what it was all about, and I had the exact opposite reaction. I found it way too cluttered. I was like, because they have, like, a whole bunch of stuff in the middle, and I found it really hard to tell what was pre-recorded and what was live, because they do feature videos that are both pre-recorded as well as live video, whereas Twitch focuses, although you can go into your favorite streamers and find their previous streams, everything when you're searching and everything else is focusing just on, like, who is live right this second. Yeah. YouTube gaming is taking a different approach and saying, like, oh, okay, you like Yogscast? Well, Yogscast is currently live, but then here's everything else that they've done pre-recorded or whatever, all on your homepage. So I found it really difficult to understand, like, just at a glance, what was live content and what was pre-recorded content. The only thing that kind of tipped me off was, like, views at the bottom, where it was, like, if something had 175K views, it was probably not live. So I found it a little bit cluttered, and then you've got the games all kind of down the left-hand side, and again, I haven't been in there and favoriting anything, so it took me a while to find Hearthstone. It was, like, way down at the bottom, and then on the right-hand side, they've got, like, big people with, like, big YouTube numbers, and then they've also got people who have the most people watching them stream live at that moment, so it's kind of a mix of the most popular live and pre-recorded people on the right-hand side, but again, like, it's everything is just, like, right there, and I'm like, well, if I'm browsing, I can see how this would be useful. But if I'm looking for something specific, even I went to the Hearthstone page, and again, it was really hard to pick out the live content from the not live content. So
yeah, and I mean, I watch a lot more Twitch.
I consume a lot of media on Twitch, like not just when, you know, obviously I stream to Twitch, I create content for Twitch, I'm doing that 5 days a week. But then, like, on my weekends, I am spending a significant portion of my day, and even sometimes during the week when we've got things like ATLC. I watch that every Wednesday every week because it's super awesome and they're getting to the end of the championship now. And so I'm constantly on Twitch trying to find something to watch. And it's really easy, but I've also been in that ecosystem for a really long time. So I'm used to the way they've laid it out. I have all of my subscriptions. Like, I've subscribed to all my favorite streamers. I have, you know, all of my favorite games are flagged. So for me, my Twitch experience is really catered, and my YouTube gaming obviously is not, because it just came out today and I spent all of 5 minutes with it. So at a glance, it was really cluttered, but that's my, as soon as I got in there, kind of impression. So yeah. I'm sure once I go in there and once I change it around and cater it a little bit, then it'll be better. But
I'm just a huge fan of the fact that it's a usability thing. When I go to twitch.tv homepage, it automatically starts playing, automatically has the thing.
Oh, I hate the audio started.
And with gaming.youtube, it's really just the first impression is like, oh, it's playing me this live video and it's not taking over my speakers. I'm not like fiddling for the pause button or trying to pause my podcast or something. I can just look at it and say like, oh, this is interesting. I can watch this stranger play Mario Maker. And that's the key thing, is that strangers, like, you probably don't know anybody who's using gaming.youtube in terms of the featured streams, because all those people are still on Twitch.
That's true.
That's not an issue you're going to fix in the first day, but if we're like comparing the two services, like, that's a big one. If, you know, the person who really likes to watch Twitch can't watch their Twitch players on YouTube, then I don't know how you fix that problem. That's YouTube's problem to fix, you know, like, not.
I don't even necessarily know if it's a problem, because I feel like there are a lot of really big content creators on YouTube who specifically do things for YouTube. So if you've got like PewDiePie, or if you've got Yogscast or whatever, these services, these people that have, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers, all of a sudden they can start live streaming content to those followers, and they don't have to try to build a live streaming following. Like, if they were to go over to Twitch, they're starting at zero, right? Like, they have to tell everyone where to go. They have to decide if they want to do like a Yogscast channel, or if they want each of their individual streamers to have their own streaming channel. And then if they do have all their own little individual streamers all having their channels on Twitch, then they all have to try to build their audience. So you have to tell people, okay, yes, you follow Yogs on YouTube. Now you have to go follow ABCDEF streamer on Twitch, and they stream at all different times, and here's a weird schedule and whatever. If you can just take your YouTube followers and say, oh, hey, we're going to do something that is live right now, and all you have to do is click watch, you're going to get so many more people. So I think what we're going to see is a whole bunch of these really big pre-recorded YouTube content creators who do video game content, because that's obviously what this is aiming at.
Yeah.
But all of those big video game content creators who do pre-recorded stuff on YouTube, we're going to see them start to do a lot more live streaming. And I think we're going to get a different type of live streamer on gaming.youtube.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see a lot of really big names that everybody recognizes, but not for streaming, but just recognizable names, are going to be on the YouTube service.
Yeah.
So I'm really actually interested to see what kind of a culture that creates, because we all know like YouTube comments are terrible, but the only thing that rivals YouTube comments are live Twitch chats. Not our Twitch chat, because the Amove community is freaking awesome. But in general, live Twitch chats can be ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested to see what happens when you have big, huge streamers with audiences who don't usually, who like don't necessarily watch live content, who may not come from the Twitch universe.
Mm-hmm.
When like the Twitch universe kind of comes over to the YouTube service, like, I want to see that kind of interaction and who wins, and if we're going to end up with like streams of just like memes and you won't even have all of like the sub emotes won't be a thing over on YouTube. So I feel like we might have a chance to create an ecosystem that has a cleaner, more meaningful chat. I could be totally wrong, because it is the internet.
The internet is a perplexing thing. It's like, I'm focusing a lot on the UI, because I really don't like Twitch's UI, but it's really tough to do video, like a video service UI. And I think Google's really been, they've had a lot of time to experiment with it, focusing on a lot of content that they have on YouTube. And if you look at the gaming page for Hearthstone, it's got the big, beautiful Grand Tournament banner, logo of Hearthstone, the year it was released. And then, like, you can explore by going to the live tab, and you see these nice, big, crisp thumbnails of who's playing, as opposed to if you go over to the Twitch and it just all looks like the same thing except for the titles. You know, you've got Trump, you've got Amaz, and a bunch of other people. I know it's not Amaz.
It is. It's Amaz.
Okay. Well, it just all looks the same, and I just really appreciate that YouTube's doing a little bit more to make it flashier, to make it more attractive,
more professional, and yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think that goes a long way. Is that going to convince people to switch to gaming.youtube.com? Probably not. But I think the biggest argument is the one you just made, in that if people are already using YouTube, then why would they manage content on two different services? You know, just cut your losses with Twitch and move everything to YouTube. Because mm-hmm. if someone's following you, they're going to go where you are. They don't really care what service you're on. They just want to. Yeah. They're there for the content, not the service. They could mm-hmm. care less. And how often does Twitch go down compared to YouTube? When was the last time you remember YouTube going down? Minus
really
when they
funny
launched this.
Because I was going to say, yeah, and James tried to stream to this afternoon and it actually didn't work and we defaulted back to Twitch. But
well, that's cheating.
But this is, again, this is launch day. They may not have realized like how many people were really looking forward to this because it is a little bit more professional. And I feel like as someone who is looking to start making her living streaming, I'm going to look at YouTube before I look at Twitch. Like, I have a following on Twitch already and I'm probably just going to switch over to YouTube. It just seems like it's all going to be so much more seamless.
Yeah.
Right now, you do actually have the ability to upload a video straight from Twitch over to YouTube if your accounts are linked. I'm wondering what's going to happen with that.
Well, there's a quality hit on that.
Oh, yeah, there's total quality hit. Absolutely. But I'm interested to see like if that functionality will go away completely to try to move people towards YouTube's gaming service, or if it's going to kind of remain there but with the quality hit, obviously, or, you know, like just what is going to happen with all of that. I hope they don't remove the service completely, and I think that would kind of be a stupid move on YouTube's side, because really, if people are uploading their streams over to YouTube after the fact, that's still YouTube video content. People are still being driven there, especially since Twitch instituted their whole like you have to highlight your videos, only keep them for 2 weeks. Like there really isn't a Twitch archive anymore. It's really just strictly live streaming, and that's obviously a server space issue. So with YouTube, they're made for storing video. So I don't think they'll get rid of that service, but it would be really interesting if they did and then made it super, super easy to just take your, like, just stream to YouTube and then upload to YouTube, because you've had the ability to do Hangouts on Air and everything that kind of came out of that. But actually streaming a game, like, do you know, have you tried, you haven't tried to stream to YouTube yet, have you?
I haven't, not even a little bit, with just live to YouTube Live. And that's the other thing, is that with Twitch there is a lag, but it's not a lag that halts the show. Mm-hmm. Now with YouTube, I wonder if they've actually fixed that, because that was one of the biggest concerns a lot of people had. Now, you know, sharing a conference style presentation on YouTube Live in the past was perfect, because you didn't need to interact with the chat room. But with gaming, you need to interact with the chat room. And I assume lots of people are enjoying it and using it, then the chat is a little closer to the actual broadcast. But I know that was a big issue people had. So I wonder if that's been solved. And I hope it has, because that was one of the key issues people had. So
mm-hmm. I'm interested to know, because again, I haven't actually tried this yet, but like, for instance, when I streamed Twitch, I have third-party software. I use XSplit. Mm-hmm. So I have XSplit that I have where I set up all of my video things. I put in, you know, the Skype video if I need it. I have it gets my webcam. It gets whatever overlays and anything else that I want to put in there. It pulls my screen regions and it pulls my game. So I'm interested to see how exactly you interact with YouTube. Like, do I use XSplit? Is YouTube just something, another account that I add that I can just click on where I want to broadcast to? Like, how exactly does that work? Or is it something I set up completely on the web, which would also be interesting, because then I can have less software running, because like I was mentioning earlier with our Windows 10 discussion, like my computer's starting to chug. It's quite a few years old now. I could use an upgrade, but that's not in the cards. So I'm looking for software solutions that are going to be less taxing on my Windows machine. So YouTube gaming could be really cool. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I'm really thinking, because it's so polished, that's probably where I want to put all my professional video. So that's probably where I'm going to move to. But it's interesting.
It just I'm glad. It looks so good. Like, if you load up a channel in YouTube, like my YouTube channel, and yours for that matter, is primarily video game focused. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple spare videos here and there, but when you look at it on the gaming.youtube, it it looks great. Like, again, it makes those thumbnails pop. Like, you put effort into creating those thumbnails and just making them show off the game. And finally, YouTube's giving us a reason. It's not this little thumbnail thing that you have to click on to figure out what it is. You can tell, like, oh, that is Ryan playing Hearthstone. That's Ryan playing Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. It just looks really good.
It just looks better, yeah.
Yeah, it just looks so much better. And obviously, that's something Twitch can go after. But I think, like you said, the biggest one is that Google has an infinite amount of storage that they can play with, and Twitch has started putting, it was pretty famous, was it last year? It was pretty famous in how they just sort of neutered the whole, like, archiving thing. Like, you can't have a large archive of videos. That's not what Twitch is for. Export to YouTube, that's what you do.
Yeah.
So why would you want that extra step that degrades quality?
One thing that I did see mentioned, I can't remember if it was in this TechCrunch article or if it was somewhere else, because a lot of people were writing about the launch of YouTube gaming today, but the whole audio issue of copyrighted music, one thing that streamers do a lot of, which is supported on Twitch and may or may not be supported on YouTube, is playing music while they're streaming. So you can sit there, I do it all the time when I'm playing Smite, have Spotify running, just listen to random crap and play video games and interact with the chat room. And a lot of people really like that and don't care, because basically what Twitch does is mutes the stream after the fact. So you can still watch the video, but there's no sound for whatever portion of the video Twitch says you're copyright violating.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're primarily a streaming service, it's not as big a deal as everyone thought it was going to be, because it's not made for archiving. So basically what I do is I just have a local recording of every stream that I do, and then whatever needs to be uploaded to YouTube or I can use for highlights or whatever, I don't have to worry about portions being muted. But a lot of people who want to stream on YouTube gaming are concerned about possibly, because YouTube is like way, way, way more strict than Twitch is with their content and what is available. So, like, I mean, well, even Ryan, you and I, we went through this whole big, huge kerfuffle with some random company on YouTube, even though we had gone to the original composer and asked if it was okay to feature one of his songs on our Christmas episode. We featured the song, we played it right off the top, and then we ended up getting, like, a year and a half later, this, like, copyright infringement, cease and desist, take down your content type order. And I had to jump through so many legal hoops to prove that we had actually gotten permission from the artist. And basically what happened was the artist, his like recording company got bought or whatever, started being represented by this other bigger umbrella company.
Yeah.
And his original okay to use the music kind of got lost in all of the, you know, steps of corporate jerkbags. So anyways, totally not bitter about that at all.
No.
But if that starts happening, because I mean, YouTube's filters are so strict that sometimes they've even caught, you know, like somebody's voice or, you know, in-game music, like music that is licensed for that game. The person has nothing else going on except for they're playing the game, and all of a sudden, like, their audio is muted or their content is taken down and all of this kind of stuff. So that's a real concern if YouTube starts to do that while you're live streaming. On the archive, it's not quite as bad because, you know, like, it's the same sort of idea as Twitch. If they mute it, they mute it. Okay, whatever. If they make you take it down, that really sucks because that's your archive content. That's what you've created. But if they do it when you're live, that's so much worse. That's like, I mean, anytime we have technical difficulties, whether it's right before a stream, during a stream, whatever, it always throws you off. It makes it so difficult to continue to create what you're doing, whether that's a podcast, live stream, whatever. Technical difficulties just put you in a bad mood. So can you imagine you're sitting there, you're playing, you're having fun with the chat, you're getting really into it, and all of a sudden your stream goes down. You can't figure out why. And then 5 minutes later, you get an email from YouTube. You were using copyrighted blah, blah, blah. And you're like, well, no, I wasn't. I was playing Hearthstone. And then, oh, well, the theme of Hearthstone is copyrighted to Blizzard Entertainment. Thou shalt not stream. It's like, well, what do you want me to do, YouTube?
I know. And that's, again, like, it's all about using, like, let's put it out there. You're using content that isn't yours. And you have to kind of play by the rules. And if the person who composed a certain song in a certain video game doesn't want you streaming it without their permission because they only gave, let's say, Nintendo permission. That's been a big issue that I've had. Whenever I upload a Nintendo video, I get hit by a copyright claim because obviously Nintendo has made it pretty clear that they are claiming all videos. Mm-hmm. So I don't monetize those videos because there's no real value to the viewers if, like, I'm not seeing any credit for it. Now, Nintendo is, and they can choose to run ads on whatever, but you're kind of left at the mercy of whoever created the content. And the beauty of that is that most of those creators are like, it's cool. You can stream Hearthstone. You can monetize it. You can stream, you know, a lot of indie games come out right and say, like, you can monetize Rust. You can monetize this. I know Witcher 3, CD Projekt Red, they've been very good at saying, like, we're not going to do any copyright claims. And they will work with you if you do get some bogus claim. And that's just really software doing a human job, right? In that a piece of software looks at a video and says, like, oh, you don't own the rights to this and it's being claimed by this person. We're going to slap an ad at the front. And I think Jimmy's right in that YouTube won't interfere with live streaming, but the whole benefit of being on YouTube live streaming is that it's so easy to archive it and just have it be an archive on your YouTube page almost instantaneously. And I think that's where it becomes an issue. And what they do with it then, like, do they cripple the video? Do they just mute a certain point? And if history has shown anything, they are crippling the video. They are muting the whole track, which makes it not worth watching. Yeah. And I think you're right. Like, are people really going to not want to listen to their Spotify playlist while playing Smite? Probably not. They're probably just going to want to keep doing what they're doing. And I don't know. I don't think that'll ever go away because, again, like, you don't own the rights to play that music and them's the rules, right? So I don't know. It's a play royalty-free music at that point, guys. I mean, if you're...
Yeah, that's really true. That's true. And that is obviously a workaround. Yeah. So overall, yay, nay, interested, not interested, YouTube gaming, where do you fall?
I think the best point made in the chat room was by Matt, and then he said that, you know, competition is great. Twitch has really been running the flag pretty free. You know, no one's been chasing them down. And now YouTube, Google, the biggest tech company around, comes over and says, hey, we're going to give this a shot. And I think now you have Google versus Amazon when it comes to these two titans going at it. And I think that's the best thing we got going. And if this is YouTube's first attempt at live streaming for gaming, it's a pretty solid first attempt. And it's only going to get better, I think.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm excited about it too. I'm going to give it a shot. So we'll have to sort out. And this is kind of the other thing is, like, I want to go give it a shot, but then it's like the branding for everything is just so swooshed together that, it's going to be hard to, basically when they brought in Google Plus, they just screwed everything over. So it's going to be hard to kind of re-separate everything.
Well, it is separate now.
Well, yeah, but.
Yeah, but I think really the biggest hurdle people will have is, like, someone like you has, what is it? Is it 2,000 followers now on Twitch? Or is it more than that?
I can't remember. It's definitely over 2.
Yeah.
But so I can't remember what I was at. Or
2,000 plus.
Oh, look it up.
Yeah, look it up. So 2,000 plus, twitch.tv/GISGamer, subscribe today. That's 2,000 people that aren't being notified that you're going live. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have... Now, that's not saying you have to start from zero because you have...
2,300.
So, you have... Yeah. Well, you have, 10% of that on YouTube, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Give or take. So you have to build it up, but really, like, you have more followers on Twitter, so you really just have to start hammering a new link, and, you know, the people will go where the content is.
People will go where the content is, exactly. Yeah. If I stop streaming to Twitch, then everyone from Twitch will just migrate to wherever I am streaming, so I'm not too worried about that.
Exactly, and you just talk about it on your shows, you talk about it on Twitter, you talk about it on Facebook, and... I don't
the
think
people
that's a
will
concern.
Come. If they, you build it, they will come.
Exactly. If that's anybody's major concern, then give it a shot. You never know.
Exactly. If you want to show off your TGI pride, you can head on over to slashloot.com. That is slashloot.com and grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including all your favorite podcasts like Azeroth, Roundtable, Torn, Think Tank, Zombies Ain't My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride, which brings us to the end of our show. Mm-hmm. Whew, we ran long, all that tech
talk. This will be
talk.
A quick show, right? A quick show?
Yeah, exactly. Open the notes. There's, like, nothing in there. It's like, oh, we have nothing to talk about. Spluh for an hour and a half. Whatever. So we want to thank our patron of the week this week, Mario3D. Thank you so much for supporting the Gamers Inn. We appreciate each and every one of you. If you would like to become a patron, you can do so by going to patreon.com/thegamersinn. We do Gamers Inn game night every Thursday night for 2 hours. We play whatever you tell us to play, and we play with you. So again, that is patreon.com/thegamersinn. We also have our monthly hangouts, which are supported by the patrons, and those are the third Thursday of every month.
Yeah, so yes. It's up for patrons now, and it'll be on the feed probably this weekend for everybody.
Very exciting. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that does it for us tonight. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Into the Nexus, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AmoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you think about Windows 10, Ark, Hearthstone, Witcher, or YouTube gaming, trying to remember about all the things we talked about tonight, and it was a pretty jam-packed show, you can do so by emailing us at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.